Okay, Rabbi Isai, I want to learn. I want us today, Rabbi Isai, Moirai and Rabbi Isai, let us begin. I know it's a little bit early. This Thursday is Shiva Osa B'Tamuz, the beginning of the 3 weeks.
Are we on?
Yes. Mir Hashem, we're pleased to be here. B'li Neder, Hashem's help, and Shavu Shir. What's tomorrow? Today is July 4th.
Today's the third. The actual signing of the declaration was on July 2nd.
On July 2nd.
But the actual now they want to know there's a question that I surveyed.
Go look at your calendar. The actual day of July 4th, 1776 was Shiva
Asa B'Tamuz. What?
The actual day of July 4th, 1776 was Shiva Asa B'Tamuz.
It's an amazing what you're saying. Because that's really what I wanted to prepare to speak about today. It's amazing what you're saying. So Baruch Hashem, you gave me a Pesach. Not that we need a Pesach to talk about this, right? But you really hit the nail on that. That way, I'm a little bit behind the times. Today, is today the legal holiday? Today is July 4th? Today everything's... So today's a regular work day?
Yes. It's
Erev Yom Tov. For some reason, I get the impression that no one's going to work today.
From Thursday already.
No one has been going to work.
Okay, July 4th weekend. I don't know why I thought that today was a legal holiday. I don't know why. Today there's mail. Everything is in session today?
Yeah.
But it's tomorrow. Okay. Sir, if Dr. Dove is saying, you're telling me this historical fact that the signing of the Declaration of Independence was on Shiva Asa B'Tamuz? Is that a fact? That is an historical fact? That the signing of the Declaration of Independence...
Well, they said now that it was really July 2nd that they actually signed it. July 4th they made whatever.
And July 2nd was Shiva Asa B'Tamuz?
No, he means July 4th, I'm sure.
All right, it's close enough. There's definitely a hashgacha. Why am I saying that? Rabbi Isai, why? Rabbi Isai, Dr. Doe, please. Why is it? Because America has brought to this world, at least in America, freedom of religion. It is a novel, unprecedented, incredible thing that in the Geisha world there should be something called freedom of religion. Okay, and it's not even comprehensible to appreciate if we were to be students of history that such a thing could happen in this world. The Ummah Yisraelim could allow people to have freedom of religion, and the one that is nene from this more than anyone beyond a shadow of that is Klal Yisrael. There can be a mokum for Klal Yisrael. They planted the seeds for what would be years later, many years later, 150 years later, when less than that, but when people would come to America in droves and be able to flourish and to be able to serve Hashem, Yiddishkeit. It's unbelievable. And why is it so unbelievable? And what makes it even more interesting that it coincided generally, basically, with the date of Shiva Asa B'Tamuz? Because the major theme of the way I'm telling, quoting over here from the Sefer Avnei Shoyam, there are five events we know that happened on Shiva Asa B'Tamuz. And what appears to be the major common denominator of the events is the suppression of freedom of religion. That's really the major thing. There are five events that took place, and the common denominator of the five events is the suppression to be able to serve Hashem. The suppression and the cancellation of freedom of religion. And on this day, Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, 1776, could happen such a thing that there can be a day of a statement. Okay, we have to go over the protem, you know, freedom. A freedom. And what freedom of what? What's the freedom? Be'etzem, it's freedom of religion. On the same day of Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, Haloi Davar? What does that mean exactly? Now let's try to explain. Let's see. What happened exactly on Shiva Asa B'Tamuz? There are five emails. Let's discuss them from different angles. The different angles of the events that occurred. Let me read you what it says in the Rambam. The Halakha Rambam. Okay, the Rambam says, Kosa. The Rambam, Hilchos Tainios. Okay, Dr. Dov, please. Harambam Hilchos Taniyos Perikei Haloch Aleph. Yesh Shom, I'm not sure what the word Shom was, Shem. Yesh Shom Yomim Shekol Yisrael Nisanim Bohem. There are days of the year, there are days in the year when the entire Jewish people fast, but they had tzoros she'iru vohem, because of the tzoros, the difficulties which occurred on those days. What is the purpose of fasting on these days that he's going to enumerate? Kidei, le'oirer halavois, to arouse the hearts, v'liftoyach darkei teshuva, and to open up ways of repentance. These days shall thus be a remembrance lema'aseinu horoim, for our evil deeds, uma'asei avoseinu shehoya kima'aseinu ata, and the evil deeds, I guess, of our ancestors that are equivalent to the evil deeds of what we are doing today, ad shegoram lohem, and because of those evil deeds it caused them velonu. These few words of the Rambam are very, very shocking. He's telling us over here many, many principles in Hashkafa, just in very, very few words. Number one, he's saying, the underlying current of what he's saying is that don't make any mistake and think that there is no relationship between our Averois and the Tzorois that we have. Every Tzora, Rachmanu Litzlan Lo Yoleinu, that Klal Yisrael experiences is directly an outgrowth, is triggered because of an avera. There's no such thing. He's saying over an incredible principle, which people don't even from Orthodox people don't want to accept this. You hear this all the time, is that it's min hashamayim. The same way it's meant to be. There's supposed to be a lunar eclipse, a solar eclipse. It's supposed to rain. This supposed to happen. There are tekufos in the world that are not good for Klal Yisrael. It's meant to be. It's nothing personal. It has nothing to do with your averois, your mitzvahs. That's the way Hashem made the world. It goes up and down, you have to have emuna pshuta, you're born into a certain tekufa, and it's a tekufa just like sometimes it rains, sometimes it's hot, it's cloudy, there's nature, there's hester panim. There are tekufas that are not so good, and just weather the storm. Just have emuna.
Didn't they say about Hanina ben Yosef, Hashem's Baruch Hu said to him,
if I turn over the entire world,
he says, do you want me to recreate the world from the beginning all over again?
Okay, so that's a riot to that type of principle.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't know. You're right. I'm not going to make up. I know anything. I know nothing. But yet, Rabbi Chaim, one second. I'm going to come to you one second. Yet, cannot ignore what the Rambam says. Now, this is what the Rambam, there could be other Rishonim, Azoyin, Azoyin. The Rambam is saying over here an incredible thing. He's telling us over here is the reason why we have these days of the year is to arouse our hearts, open up ways of repentance, and we should remember their days of Zikaron. The Rambam over here, I don't think anyone would tell you, if you'll ask Chat GPT why we fast on Shavuos and Tammuz, they're not going to tell you this Rambam. They're not going to go tell you, the artificial intelligence is not going to tell you, Chonenu me'itcha dea bina v'haskel, what the Rambam is saying, the Toras Elokim. It's a day of Zikaron, he says. V'yihye zeh. Ask the average guy on the street, they're not going to tell this to you. If they don't know the Rambam, they're not going to say this. V'yihye zeh Zikaron l'ma'aseinu haro'im, our evil deeds. Like what they did also what we do today. Ad shegoram. Our deeds are the cause. Make no mistake about it. It's not by sharet that in the world there should be a problem. It's only because of our ma'aseinu horoim ad shegoram lohem vilonu oison hatzores. That's the Rambam Shita. How do you reconcile this with Hanan ben Dosa, the old Mamare Chazal? I no understanding, no, but this is what he says. And then he goes on. The Eluhain, and then he says, Vishiva Asa Batam. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's not irreconcilable. Gemara, for example, talks about seasons of Paranus.
This is the point, right? The extremes of weather and climate at this time of year. On the other hand, we've also discussed in the past the sins of Hegel and Roglin and selling of Yosef, that punishment is doled out
over generations.
But it's not irreconcilable, because it could be then doled out more in this time of this season than others.
It's challenging. You need, at the end of the day, you need emunah pshuta. It's challenging. Unfortunately, you cannot deny that there's a sense of complacency by many, including, where this is how it is. It's not because we did an avera. We didn't do an avera. This is whatever. It's meant to be, for whatever the esoteric reasons are, and just to let go and don't have any sense of accountability for the problem. The Rambam says there's no such thing. You're accountable. It's the reason why you got a problem, it's because you did an avera. No one wants to hear that today. That's not the world we live in today. You're accountable? You did something wrong? Okay, and look at America. You know, there are a lot of things that have gone on in the last 10 years in this country that are not so good. Have you ever heard of one person being held accountable? Never. Never. No one's accountable. No one's accountable for anything. Everyone clean hands. No accountability.
It's no one's fault. It's only Trump's.
No accountability for anything. Unfortunately, it trickles down to us. This lack of accountability.
We use the cause and effect of having an immediate cause and effect, not as delayed a year or two or 10 years or 20 years. It's not in our system.
It's hard, right? It's not in our system. It's hard. It's very, very hard. It is very hard. I'm not denying it. And it's a challenging concept. But the Rambam is the Rambam, and the Rambam openly, explicitly says these words. And when he introduces the Dalit Soymos, explicitly says, "Ad shegoram lohem vilonu oison hatzaros." It's our fault. Don't ever forget there is accountability, and the problems that we have and our ancestors have are a direct outgrowth of their behavior. And if you're not going to spend a day reflecting and doing, opening up for yourself, being ma'oirer the levavos and searching v'livtoch darkei hateshuva, the problems are not going to go away. We think a problem is like a rainstorm. Just wait it out. It's raining. You don't got an umbrella. So you sit, wait in shul 10 more minutes, the rain will stop, and you'll go home, shalom al yisrael. That's not what it's about. It's not going to go away.
According to Wikipedia, whatever that's written, fasting is a vehicle for reflecting and repenting for your sins.
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
It's close.
Not bad. Okay, that's a tiny, that's just a little bit of the time. That's not all.
That's inside.
This is okay. So then he goes in. Then he goes on to explain what exactly happened on Shavasa B'Tammuz. So five things happened. Number one, we got five things. Nishtabru haluchas. The luchas were shattered. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. He saw Klal Yisrael worshiping the Egel. Klal Yisrael, they worship the Egel. It's interesting that it doesn't say. This is very strange. Why doesn't it say that on Shavasa B'Tammuz we fast? Because on Shavasa B'Tammuz we worship the Egel. The shattering of the lucha is big deal. That was just a consequence. How come it doesn't say this? I don't have an answer for. On Shavasa, what happened on Shavasa B'Tammuz? If you and someone would ask you, why you fast? We worship the eagle. We got to do teshuva. Oh, what are the luchas? Well, if you worship the eagle, I mean, what do you expect? Of course Moshe is going to shatter the luchas. It's not like that Moshe did a terrible thing, you shatter the luchas. So Adrabi, so you give me Yashikoyach. What? Moshe Rabbeinu, you know why we fast on Shavasa B'Tammuz? Because Moshe shared the luchos. Excuse me, accountability. The reason why we fast on Shavasa B'Tammuz is because we worship the eagle. Because we worship the eagle, that's why Moshe shared the luchos. Iker chosen and asefer.
Media, that's called burying the lead.
Your shvirat haluchot is korban bet hamikdash. It's the same thing.
The Churban was, that's Tisha B'Av.
You once gave a shear.
Both of them.
You're quoting me?
Yeah.
Don't quote me.
You once gave a shear that the people with before the Shavuot Sabbatamos became what we today fast for Shavuot Sabbatamos, did the B'nai Israel fast on the yard side of the Shviras Halukos?
Did they fast on the yard? Right, so right, he probably saw right here, right. So he talks about. I want to say that again now. We're talking about it right now from a different angle, something similar. Wait, okay. Number two.
The tremendous, Nebuchadnezzar, the Gulos had to be destroyed. The tremendous thing, though.
But it avoids accountability. This is a steer in the Rambam.
This is what the Abarbanel makes a very tremendous point about accountability. In other words, Aaron and Moshe didn't go into Eretz Israel seemingly because Yanlo and Nantempi when they hit the rock. But that's not true. This was the second chance. Aaron didn't go in because of the Yehiel, and Moshe didn't go in because of the Chayit HaMeraglim. So the point is, with Aaron, I know you meant well. In other words, you were trying Chag Lashem Achor, you were trying to put it off, but the end result was 3,000 people died, and you caused it. So I know you meant well, but there's accountability. I don't know what would have happened. Had they killed you, one person would have died, him or whatever it is. But you caused the death of 3,000 people. Moshe, by the Chet HaMeraglim, because he put thoughts into their head, caused the death of 600,000 people. And therefore, somebody has to pay the price. You went off script. I told you to tell him your suru, and you started saying, Echazoku, Mimenu, and so on and so forth, Orim Gedolos, Mitzuros, Vashemayim, all these things. You gave them a checklist of what to check, and you went off script. I told them, enjoy, you're happy going to Israel, have a nice trip, enjoy yourself. Instead, they came back with a prophet's report on if they could do it. Moshe meant that even things that are so difficult, God is so great. No, nothing can stand in the way when Hashem gives you the land. Problem is, you went off script, you gave them these instructions, and you caused the death of a whole generation. Somebody has to pay.
There accountability. Is accountability.
No, there is accountability because they're the ones who caused the loopholes to be destroyed.
So focus on the Avera. Okay, let's see. We'll see in a second. We're leading off to something. Number two is the Batal HaTamik. Number one, we know exactly when the Luchos were shattered. Luchos were shattered in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and Matan Torah, 40 days after Vav or Zion, Sivan, when of Matan Torah. Next. Batal HaTamik. Number two is the Talmud came to. When did the Talmud, what are we referring to? This Machlekes Rishonim, which Talmud are we referring to? The Bayis Rishon or the Bayis Sheni or both? So this is a big machlokes Yeshayim. When exactly, when it says batal hatamid, no, so the Rambam explicitly doesn't say this in the Gemara. The Rambam says batal hatamid mibayis rishayim. Okay, the Rambam writes, the Rambam is taking sides because I think Rashi,
case is a scribbleist and a scribbleist.
Right, so that's the bayis sheni. That's the bayis sheni. So the Rambam writes over here, batal mibayis rishayim, from the Rambam's Misora, is the Karban Tomit was bought from the Bayis Rishon. They stopped offering the Karban Tomit. There was a 3.5-year siege. The siege began on Asara B'Teves. And 3.5 years later, on Shavuos B'Tammuz, is when they breached the walls of, according to one opinion, they breached the walls of Yerushalayim. The walls were breached. On the day when they breached the walls of Yerushalayim is when the Karban Tomit came to an end. Okay, so it was three, that's according to what it says in the Rambam. The first, next, V'huvka'o Yerushalayim, and this is a tremendous chiddush, B'churban Sheni. The Rambam, these are the Rambam's own words. The Rambam says that we talk about the walls were breached, on Shavuos V'Tammuz, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. When were they breached? In the Bayis Sheni. What about the Bayis Rishon? Well, it says explicitly in Sefer Yirmiyah that the walls were breached on the 9th day of Tammuz, not the 17th day, the 9th day of Tammuz. That's what it says in the Sefer. And in Sefer Yirmiyah, explicitly, the 9th day of Tammuz. So how come we have a tradition that the walls were breached on Shavuos V'Tammuz? It's referring to the Bayis Sheni. Okay, next, the Saraf Apostemos Harosha Es HaTorah. There's that Apostemos Harosha, he burnt Es HaTorah. When did Apostemos live? Apostemos in the service, he was a Greek general. He lived during the time of the Yavanim. So this is the Bayis Sheni. This is somewhere in the middle of the time of the Bayis Sheni. He burnt Es HaTorah. Over here in the Arne Shem, he quotes on the Farshim. Why does it say HaTorah? He didn't just burn a Torah. The Goyim have been burning Torahs for generations. Okay, he burnt HaTorah. It's not clear, but it could be it was the Torah of Ezra HaSofer. Or maybe the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a special Sefer Torah that captured, represented the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. We know that the Moshe Rabbeinu in the Aron, they kept the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was it used for? Whenever someone else wrote a Sefer Torah, the computer check had to make sure it was like the Torah in the Aron. The Torah in the Aron was the bottom line.
The master, excellent term.
It was the master copy. And what does that mean also? It means more, it's the Mesorah. The Mesorah, by saying that the Torah, that was the master copy, was destroyed, the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael was weakened. And that's a terrible tragedy. Just as Tom says, Sefer Torah was burnt. Rachmana Litzlan, throughout the ages, Sefer Torah had been burnt. Ma'isim b'chol yoyim. Goyim, they burned Sefer Torah. But when the Mesorah, the master copy, which represents the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, we don't know any. We don't know. The authenticity is now challenged. Who says that what it says in the Torah, the Rachman al-Islam, the Rishayim, the Yishmaelim, they write, they claim that it was Yishmael that went to the Akedah. So excuse me, you Rishayim. Look what it says in the Torah. Oh, we have a different Torah. The authenticity of the Torah was challenged when with the Sreifas HaTorah. We don't appreciate how when you don't have the master copy, it opens up a Pesach for apikorsis, for people to do terrible things to Klal Yisrael. The tragedy is beyond belief that such a thing could happen. Number five, Vehemid Tselem Behechel. Someone put a Tselem, an idol in, who put the Tselem in the Hechel? When? Which Bayis? Bayis Rishon, Bayis Shen. So here the Rambam is not clear, doesn't tell you when this took place. So some say Hemet Tselem Hechel was also Apostemos in the Bayis Sheni, the Greeks, they put Avodah Zarah, and others say we're going back to the Bayis Rishon. Who put Avodah Zarah in the Hechel? Menashe. The king of Menashe. Menashe, Russia, his son Amon, they put a tselem in the Hechel. Now, so we have over here, according to the Rambam, he's vacillating. He's vacillating different to Kufos in Jewish history. According to the Rambam, the first thing is the very beginning, Shuras Aluchas. Number two is the Bittul HaTamid when Bayis Rishon. Then the walls of Yerushalayim. Now, when was the Bayis Rishon? That took place on 17th day, which we have to explain that even though, let's clarify this point, even though the walls of Yerushalayim were breached on the 9th day of Tammuz, they still were able to continue doing avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, even though there was a war going on right outside. You have to appreciate the godless of Klal Yisrael. There's a war going on outside. Outside in the street, the walls have been breached. And the Goyim, they're fighting. It took them a month to get from the walls of Yerushalayim to destroy the Beis HaMikdash for 30 days. And during those 30 days, everyone is fighting in the streets. Just fighting in the streets. Yet, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's business as usual. The Korbanos are being offered from the 9th until the 17th day for another 8 days. Eight days. The walls are breached. The walls are breached. They're coming. So you go to daven shacharis and shul. It's like there's a war out in the streets. To go walk in the street, you can get killed in a second. They continued to bring korbanos for another 8 days until the war got to a point where they were unable to continue doing Avodah. Can you imagine during those 8 days, the Mesiras Nefesh to do Avodah was awesome, off the charts. We're living now during those 8 days. According to the Rambam, the days today are the anniversary. Meir always talks about yard sites. Yard sites. You know, people, when they do something on it, the people, you can be Mekadesh Zman. These days, according to the Rambam, between the 9th day of Tammuz and the 17th day of Tammuz are sacred. Because these are the days when Klal Yisrael was moiser nefesh more than ever to show the chavivus of the avoid of the Beis HaMikdash to be makriv korbanos despite the fact that walls were breached. 8 very special days. I always like to say, talk about the 8 days. There are 8 days. In the cycle of the Jewish year, there are 2 cycles. There is a cycle of Churban, and there is the cycle of the Moadim. Now, what do I mean? When do the Moadim begin? The Moadim begin with Pesach. Correct? Pesach. Yeah. Right? Achoydesh Nisan. Beautiful. What comes then? We go through Shavuos, and then we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and then what do we have? So Shmini Atzeres, and then okay, then we have Chanukah. Why do I say Chanukah? It's not really because we talk about Chanukah. I know you can say really better. The year really is Purim. Purim, to a degree, is like the kickoff. You know, the Zman is almost over then, Purim. Is the kickoff of Pesach. The year really ends. This is a series with Chanukah. They always say by the Hasidim that the Kvittel is not until Chanukah. You know, you're supposed to do tshuva the whole year. The latecomers, they start doing tshuva in Elul. Those that are a little later, they do tshuva Erev Rosh Hashanah. Then do Rosh Hashanah, Yasser Simei Teshuva. No, Shmini Hashanah Rabbah. What's so terrible? You do tshuva, you say, oh, Hashanah Rabbah, it's not really final. You can still change the Gezar Din. And then the Chassidim will tell you, don't worry, if you messed up, you still got hope. Until Chanukah. You can bring Bikurim. You can bring the Bikurim all the way until Chanukah. Once you get to Chanukah, that's it, it's over. Then there's another cycle of the year. And that's the cycle of the Churban. When does the Churban begin? The Churban begins on Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves is when the siege of Yerushalayim began. And then, the next step in the process is Shavuot B'Tammuz. 3.5 years later, on Shavuot B'Tammuz, they breached the walls of Yerushalayim. Then Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. What's the next step of the process? Is Tom Gedaliah. Is the Sheiris HaPleita remained in Eretz Yisrael until the Yishmael assassinated Gedaliah, and then everyone left. So there's a cycle that we always focus on of Churban. Asar B'Teves, Shavuos B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedaliah. The other cycle that we focus on are the Moadim. Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, and we like to extend Shmini Atzeres until Chanukah. There is an element to this. Shmini Atzeres is 8, Chanukah is 8. There's a lot of serious, I'm not trying to say cheap drush, cheap whiskey. Serious drush is that Chanukah is the Gemar of the Moadim. So it comes out there are only 8 days in the year. Rav Mordechai, you don't like that? Okay, let me work backwards. Let me.
What?
What
is that? That's
what
happened.
Let me say right now. There are only. Then I'm raglan. I'm raglan. There's the cycle of the Moadim. When do the Moadim begin?
What
raglan?
When I was doing
Moadim. We're talking about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about the this that we commemorate Golus Bizman Hazeh. In Tavshin Pei Gimel. Tavshin Pei Gimel, we commemorate Golus. When do we begin our commemoration of the Churban? It's a 3.5 year cycle that we squeeze into 1 year. We begin the Dalet Zaymais. We begin the commemoration of Al-Khurm de Beis HaMish with Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves, when the walls of Yerushalayim were the wall was when the siege of Yerushalayim began. And then what happened next? 3.5 years later, on Shavuos V'Tammuz, they breached the walls. What happened next? On Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. What happened next? They still stayed by. No one left the Beis HaMikdash until, no one left Yerushalayim until the second day or the first day or the third day of Tishrei, when they assassinated Gedaliah ben Achikam. And that's when they all had to flee. They all left. Then Yerushalayim became completely desolate.
So what, that's the cycle of Meraglim?
No Meraglim. No Meraglim. I'm dealing with the commemoration of the Dalid Tzaymais. There are 4 Tzaymais in the Nevi'im. In Zechariah and in Yirmiyah, there are Dalid Tzaymais. The first of the Dalid Tzaymais begins on the Tzaym Ho Asiri, in the 10th month, the beginning of the siege. Then, 3.5 years later, they broke down the walls. They destroyed the Mikdash. They still remained in Yerushalayim. They had Rishus to remain in Yerushalayim until Gedaliah ben Achikam was assassinated and they fled. That's one cycle in the year. There's another cycle in the year, the cycle of the Moadim. We make believe that we have a Beis HaMikdash. Nisan, oh, HaChodesh is Elohim Rosh Chodashim. We have Pesach, we have Shavuos, we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres really should have been 50 days later. And as a me'in of the glow of Shmini Atzeres, we extended Al Derech Drush all the way to Chanukah. So it turns out every single day of the year, you're observing either one or the other of these cycles. And they overlap. There are only 8 days in the year when you're in no man's land. And that's the day after Chanukah until Asara B'Teves. The day after Chanukah, that's it, Chanukah's over. The Mo'adim are done. You've gone through the cycle. The Shalosh Regalim with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shmini Atzeres, and you want to be Mamshich. Okay, we'll give you Chanukah. You can throw in Chanukah as a hemshech to Shmini Atzeres. There's a lot of similarities between Chanukah. They say the reason, there's a lot of similarities, not for now, between Shmini Atzeres and Chanukah. Chanukah is the Hashlama of Shmini Atzeres. That's it. After Chanukah is over, it's over. The Moadim are over. You're done. You want more Moadim? You'll start up with Purim. Purim is Shloishim Yoim Koidim Achag. Right? Shloishim and Purim is when you begin to learn the laws of Pesach. Right? In yeshiva, they would start learning, and you go to the Rebbe, oh, it's Shloishim Yoim Koidim Achag on Purim, you begin to start up the new Moadim. You want new Moadim, the new cycle begins on Purim. The day after Chanukah, you're done. You finish the cycle. Okay? But we got another cycle we got to observe. The other cycle is the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And that cycle begins on Asara B'Teves. And when does that cycle end? That cycle ends on Tzom Gedaliah. After Tzom Gedaliah, you're done. No more Churban. We're finished. We go on to the Dalet Tzaymos vacation. Yeah, you have vacation from the Churban, but you're still not finished with the Moadim. So tell me, when during the year do you have vacation from the 2 cycles? 8 days. 8 days. 8 days you have during the year you can go on vacation. What are the 8 days? The day after Chanukah until Asara B'Teves. Those 8 days of the year are not part of the 2 major cycles. There are 2 major cycles. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. There are 2 major cycles in the year. There are 8 days in the year that are not, that don't overlap. Day after Chanukah until Asara are 8 days. I want to suggest and just take note, there are another 8 days that are very significant during the year. And those are the 8 days from the 9th day of Tammuz to the 17th day of Tammuz. Because from the 9th day of Tammuz to the 17th day of Tammuz, there are also approximately 8 days. You know, it depends how you want to go calculate, you know, the day, how it's where. But there are also 8 days. And what is unique about those 8 days? There was no security. The walls were breached. On the 17th day of Tammuz, in the time of, on the 9th day of Tammuz, in the time of the Bayis Rishon, it says in the Pasuk explicitly, the walls were breached. That's it, it's over. They're coming for us. You can't walk in the streets. It's martial law. We're done. They're coming for us. People are dying in the streets. Millions of people died in the Churban Bayis Rishon. There's 4 million people, and I'm not sure, I'm getting confused the numbers. Millions of people died. We don't even know exactly how people died. And yet, in the Beis HaMikdash, they're still bringing Kurbanos. The Rambam says they brought the Kurban, the Karban Tumah, until the 17th day of Tammuz. So that means from the 9th day of Tammuz until the 17th day of Tammuz, they're bringing Kurbanos. What do you mean? But this Sakonis Nefashos. That's right. These 8 days, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that's too many days. There's one day because you have to, I told you, you got to fudge it a little bit, you know, which days it started, which day it's not a kasha. 8 days. There are 8 days. They brought the Kurbanos. That's right. 17 doesn't count. 17 was bottled. That's really exactly 8 days. 9, they breached the wall, so 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Exactly 8. Because 17, there was no Karban Tumah. 8 days, they brought the Karban Tumah, which means the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash went on as if nothing is going on in the world. Even though people are dying in the streets. These are days that are very chaviv. These are special days that commemorate the chavivus of Klal Yisrael to be machshiv the avoida of the Beis HaMikdash despite the fact the world is coming to an end. Okay, now going back to this idea, now going back to this, this is an interesting idea. The Rambam over here is vacillating. He's going mamish, mikotze lakotze. First we start out with fun. We find the luchos, that's the very beginning. Then we go to Batel HaTamid. That's when Mibayis Rishon. Okay, so far the timeline is pretty good. Then V'huvka Yerushalayim B'Churban Sheni. Okay, fast forward 500 years later, 490 years later. Good, the timeline is good. And then we're going backwards in time. First, you tell me when the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. That was 3 weeks before the Churban Bayis Sheni. V'soraf apostomos horosha esatoira. That was 200 years ago. That was, apostomos was during Yovan. According to most of the Mefarshim, he was a Greek general. This is a Hanukkah story. So this was 200 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. So you're going back. You went from Moshe, time of Moshe, to the time of the Bayis Rishon, to the Churban Bayis Sheni, and now backwards 200 years to the Churban before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then what's very not clear, the Hamid Tselem Behechel. When did he put the Tselem? Who put the Tselem? So some say that's part of apostomos. So that's also 200 years. And some say, no, this refers to the Bayis Rishon, Menashe. That's even before the Bittul HaTamid. You're going out of order. Manav Shach, you're going out of order. You're going out, there's a Seder. Everything in Chazal is accurate. How come you're going out of order? The Rambam, you want to go along like other Rishonim, so you'll put everything in order. You'll say that the Batel HaTamid, Batel HaTamid Mibayis Sheni, you'll tell me. Fufka Yerushalayim and the Bayis, the Batel HaTamid and the Bayis Rishon. Fufka Yerushalayim by the Bayis Rishon, that's the Yerushalmi. And the Sarapotamos, you can finagle this, you can put it in order if you really, really want. You want to go play around exactly all the different events. But the Rambam puts himself into a situation when he explicitly tells you which Tekufa it happened, except for the last one. What's going on over here? So there are I came across two answers. One answer is, the Rambam is listing them in the order of severity, which is a tremendous chiddush to say. It's like, you know, this is a game you don't want to play. Where you want to go say, which Avera is worse than the other? You have two boys in the class, and they both do Averas. Which one did a worse Avera? Okay, one person, he committed murder, and one person was Nichshol Gilui Arayos. What's worse, Gilui Arayos or murder? I mean, you don't play these games. Okay, I miss Mincha or I miss Shachris. Okay, you insulted someone or you ate non-kosher. You ate non-kosher meat, you ate non-kosher, drank non-kosher wine, Yayin Nesach. This is Hashem's business. This is not our business. Hashem is the one that keeps score. Only Hashem knows the cheshbonos of what is chomur, the severity. But some say if the Rambam put these events in this particular order and he put them in this order, it has to be that there's a lesson here to learn of the order. The Luchos was the worst thing ever. That set the tone for everything. The Bittul, now here's what becomes very a tremendous chiddush. Who would say that the Bittul Tomid is worse than the breach of the Chomos Yerushalayim? You would say, you know, today's day and age is safety first. Don't you see a UPS truck? They don't have that anymore. They stopped putting it on the back of the UPS trucks. They used to have the scoop there on the back of every UPS truck, a banner, safety first. The walls of Yerushalayim have been breached. That's been Adam Lechaveroi. People are going to die. The Bittul HaTamid, we buy in the Shalaylam. No, so we don't bring a carbon today. What's the big deal? So Hashem does need our carbonis. No, it is a shocking revelation that you called Dr. Rabbi Neumann? You called? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
The Bittul HaTamid, there's something here to be said about the Bittul HaTamid. Why is that so? Why is the Bittul HaTamid worse than the Chomos Yerushalayim? You know, you have to really analyze. I don't know if this is related, but I can't get this out of my mind. Like, you know, the Bittul HaTamid, I'll give you an example. This is really not just this idea. My brother told this to me, is that there's a yeshiva that they don't say Baruch Hu until every single boy in the class is there. It's a dorm yeshiva, and it comes time for Shachris. Shachris is called make-believe 8 o'clock, make-believe, and 8:15 is Baruch Hu, whatever it is. If there's one boy missing in the Beis Medrash, they wait. And it creates pressure, enormous pressure. And like, they're dead serious. You'll bring the kid in on his bed. The kid is in yeshiva, everyone comes to davening on time, Baruch Hu is not said, and the whole day they're all going to blame him, and they all come, because the consequence of not coming to Baruch Hu, they will wait, they will not say but until every student is in the room. Fine, so he told me, so they've done a lot of studies on this technique, some yeshivas do this, and they found, this is a scientific analysis of this technique. When the Zman is over, let's say I have another yeshiva, a regular yeshiva, they don't do this. They daven, they say Baruch whenever the Zman is. If the kid didn't come, the kid didn't come. No, so the Rebbe deals with it. You punish him, you don't punish him. You talk to the parents, you know, you got to go talk to his doctor, chveis, whatever. Regular 99% of the yeshivas don't have such a crazy policy of if you don't come on time, they don't have such a crazy policy. This particular yeshiva, a nayazach, a new technique for yeshiva bachrim to get them into the to make sure they come to davening. Mark, you like this idea?
Is there another punishment if he doesn't come on time?
It's not his punishment.
Whatever it is, every student is different.
When he grows up, it will seem to everybody has to wait for him.
Excellent. Mayor, you see a rebel. A mayor loves what you just said. There's no one that likes what you said more than mayor. I know this.
Enable, you're enabling.
Okay. Okay, so my brother told this. All right, interesting. I never heard of such a thing like this before. Interesting, no? I never heard of such a thing.
Say.
No, I don't know. I don't know. No, he told me such a thing. So he says to me, okay, it sounds interesting, right? They've done a scientific study on this. It seems like some yeshivas talk to do this. I don't never heard of this. They've done this. Someone has mamash done crunched the numbers and done the analysis. The yeshivas where they don't start baruch until every single student is there. They go a whole year. Every single kid, not one kid misses a minyan for shachris. The day yeshiva is over and they're on their own, the number of students who show up for shachris are very, very low. And the yeshiva where they don't tell the kid, they don't have this policy, they have a normal policy, the kid doesn't show up, no, so the kid didn't come. You'll talk to him privately. The percentage of students when the yeshiva is over who come to minyan the next day on time is very, very high.
Okay.
Very, very high.
That's true. Just so going to your shul right now, Ben Azman, zero on time.
Okay, this is what he told me. He claims this study is a very interesting study of, you know, in the human condition, in chinuch habanim, you know, you can argue maybe in the short term, you don't know the long term, you know, you can be mafabo. It's a very interesting topic. Why am I telling this to you? Because the Talmud. There's something about a Talmud. And when the Talmud is over, when the Talmud comes to an end, what happens?
Yes.
What happens when the Talmud comes to an end? One sort of whole thing over here is that this, you have to appreciate that this Talmud, when it says over the Talmud came to an end, you know what that means? There was never a time in Jewish history, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, where they did not bring the Korban Talmud. You know how many years that was? That was over 1,000 years. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was 480 years until they built the Beis HaMikdash. There wasn't a day from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until they built the Beis HaMikdash that they didn't bring the Korban Talmid in the one of the seven, the Mishkanos. They had Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noivi Givain, and then they brought the Ir David and they built the Bayis Risha, which lasted for 410 years. Now, during the 410 years, did they ever not bring the Talmud? So it seems from Chazal, Gesundheit, despite the fact that we know, it says in the Neviim, they worshipped Gefer L'Chavod Azara, what went on in the Bayis Rishon. When you read the Pesukim, it's shocking what you read here, what was going on. Chazal say, Bitl HaTalmud, you have a right taken at face value, that despite the fact that it says there what was going on in the Bayis Rishon and Sefer Melachim, it's just unbelievable what it says there, and you right away would get the impression that there must have been many tekufos where they did not bring the Korban Talmid, because Menashe and Omoin and Azoy and Azoy, and they do this Mizbeach, and they copied this Melech and Meshagas to copy the Mizbeach from this person. If Chazal say this was the Bitul HaTalmid, it means despite all of the Avodah Zor that was going on in the Beis HaMikdash and Hamidu Tzil Meichel, they still brought the Talmid. They still brought the Talmud. Yeah, they had a crazy Mizbeach, and they had this Mishigas, that Mishigas. Who knows what they were doing in there? But they brought the Talmud. Despite everything going on, they still had that connection to Hashem. And now, for the very first time in almost 1,000 years, no Talmud. That's a scary thing. It's a very, very frightening, shocking thing. And according to the Rambam, that is more severe to lose that connection than life and death. Then the walls have been destroyed and they're coming for your body. They're coming to get you. The Rambam is putting you in this order. He's telling you, Michomor Arakal. The next thing in the order, okay, the walls of Yerushalayim. And then the Sreifas, then the severity, as far as the severity, the Sreifa Satoira, which is very, very shocking to say that the Sreifa Satoira is less chomor than tefillah. What is Talmud? Tfila. Uneshalma fadim sifaseinu. You ask the average person, I could only do one or the other. Learn or daven. What would they tell you to do? Learn or daven. I don't know the answer. It's a very hard thing to analyze for but you find in Chazal that people that are learning Torah are potter from tefillah. Now, that doesn't translate into today's day and age, because today there's no one in the world that would tell you that. No one today is in a madrega of Torah, so no one. But you definitely get an impression in the yeshiva world is that there's nothing more chashuv than that. I was even talking on Shabbos. There's a very famous nigun. Oilom haba is a good zach. But learning Torah is a best zach. Who says? Who says? Who wrote this song? So supposedly this song was written by Rav Chaim of Volozhin. This is the legend. And supposedly the way it goes is that this was not really a song. It was a song. It was really said about the Vilna Goyim. The Vilna Goyim was nifter, and they were very depressed. So they said, don't worry about the Vilna Goyim. He's an Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a good tzach. He's an Olam Haba. But we, what do we have left? For us, we have to learn. So instead of worry about him in Olam Haba, it's better for us to sit and learn. The story was not necessarily, the lines of this, the lyrics of this nigun were not necessarily written to state explicitly that learning Torah is greater than Olam Haba. It was written as a hesped. Some say no, some say yes. If you want to say no, it is a song, prove it to me. Show me a makar in Chazal that learning Torah is greater than Olam Haba. So some will say, it says in the Mishnah, Perkei Avos, that Yofesh Sho'achas of Tal Mikol Koiras Ruach. What? Tshuva. So it doesn't say exactly learning Torah. It says in Tshuva Masim Torah. It doesn't say learning Torah. Doesn't say Torah. Okay, so the Mefal build back. People, they start splitting here, start weighing. It's like a whole schmooze. Everyone is singing at Simchas Torah. Who told you to sing this song? Who says this song is Iskalten? It's a whole big schmooze. Who wrote the song? When was it written? They sang it in front of Chaim of Volozhin. Did he write the song? Not write the song. What was this? The Vilna Goyim? Is the lyrics really correct? It doesn't exactly say that in Perkei Avos. Yeah, you say a svara like this, a svara like this. Azoy and azoy. Ich weiß nicht. Over here, the Mefarshim are reading into the Rambam a shocking thing. The Bittul HaTomid is avoida. It is the koyach of basically tefillah. When we daven, uneshalma forim sefaseinu, it is the koyach of davening. It's listed in order, according to the after Gifa and for the Rambam. The Rambam over here is saying over here, the Seder, it comes before the Sreifa Satorah. The Sreifa Satorah. The Dover that's more Chomor is not davening. A boy who doesn't come to davening is worse than a boy who doesn't learn the whole day. You don't want to learn all day? Go take a vacation. Don't learn one word the whole day. Go to davening. You have to go daven. You have to daven like a mensch. Shachris min chamar. If you don't want to learn, okay, don't learn today. Go on vacation. I'm going to sit and learn the whole day. I'm going to learn a big grace amasmin. But davening, wake up 10 o'clock. Wake up this, wake that. Daven at home, daven in this. No tsur of tefillah. It's a powerful musa haskel. They are basic principles in Judaism. First thing is, do you daven? You get up in the morning, you daven. You daven like a mensch. You come early, you daven. Look at the Seder HaDavarim. It's a very big problem in yeshiva. There are boys that are very big masmidim. The davening is shvach. It's a very big problem. It's not an excuse. The learning late at night is only, it's not an excuse. It's a very... There are gedolim. It's not for me to get involved. It is no in shidduchim. When you ask, you want to know about a boy in shidduchim. People who are smart, the first thing they want to know is, where does he daven and does he daven? Does he daven? What? A boy who comes every day to Shacharis early, believe me, in the world of Shidduchim, Shidduch material, a person is a Mesudah. Yeah, he's a grace, a cop. He can go and mafabal you and Taisavis. Where did he daven today? He's a big masmid, he knows. Where did he daven today? Oh, he woke up 9:30 and just in his dorm room, he put on his tefillin and he mumbled a couple of words. That's a big problem. Oh, but he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, you know, he's the Rashi, learns b'chavuz with the Rosh Hashiva. If anyone in the world of Shidduchim will tell you, you better be careful here.
Near Yerushalayim, Hashivas is put, you don't get a room in the dorm unless you come to the davening.
Near Yerushalayim, someone told me yesterday.
You showed up for the Siddur. It's if you show up to the davening, then you're eligible to get a dorm.
Near Yerushalayim, someone told me, Imamish yesterday, someone who really knows, I went with him in a car yesterday, and he told me, really knows, is Israeli, he says that this year, Near Yerushalayim, they cut down the davening by 10 minutes. Okay, I remember, I used to daven in Yerushalayim. If you ever daven, I daven for this. A couple of years ago, this year,
they cut down the waiting time that people were just sitting.
Not just the waiting time, the whole, they sped up the whole davening because the boys are not coming to davening.
It's far from this.
I know, I was there. I daven there Rosh Chodesh. I go to Yeshiva, I try to daven Mir Yeshiva. I love going, not much more than the Kaisal. I go to Mir Yeshiva, daven, real davening. Wow. I remember I came there, it was Rosh Chodesh El a couple years ago. I was there for a simcha. I went there, daven Rosh Chodesh El. I couldn't believe this. You know, I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you the honest truth. You know how long Shacharis took Rosh Chodesh El? Rosh Chodesh El. 2 hours in Mir Yeshiva. In the Beis Medrash. 2 hours.
Did you make it through?
I made it through. Two hours. Would you believe that? It's not to be believed.
But you went out of your mind and you had a lot of time.
I didn't go to my mind, because I don't waste. Why?
What did you do during all that extra time?
I looked around at the walls.
That's the point. That was the point.
So they have a problem there now. The boys don't want to come davening. They can't handle it. They cut it down 10 minutes. What? Where is Chodesh Shalom?
You really not being clear. Is it because they say every word slow?
Hallel. They say the whole Brich Shmei. What really shook me to the core, I couldn't handle this. They said the whole Brich Shmei. Word for word. They opened up the Aron. They took out the Sefer Torah. Guy held it there. And they said the whole... They leaned very slow. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe. It was like.
So they don't believe that
they're. No, they were, it was real. It was very real. This is many years ago. It was a real davening. Rosh Chodesh El. Rosh Chodesh El. This is Yom Hadin. You know? I don't think the other days, they didn't go so slow. The other days, you have Musaf, you have Hallel. Serious stuff. We have over here the Seder Hadvarim. The Seder Dvarim is the first thing is the Bittul Hatamid. And then comes safety and security. The walls were breached. People were being killed right and left. And then comes, they burned the Sefer Torah. I don't have a Daf Gemara. I don't have a Gemara. It's worse. It's a greater tragedy if you're not going to daven than if you're not going to have your Daf Gemara. That's what it says here. I know maybe to you of Dov Achtov it's Poshadat V'Oid, but I'm telling you, go out there in the world, it's not perceived like this today.
Unfortunately,
it's not.
Is yeshivas cut out Chazaras Hashatz for Mincha because of Bittul Parvus? The one yeshiva did that.
They stopped doing that. No, they don't do that anymore. All of the yeshivas cut that out.
I know yeshiva.
Yeah. Hechvedusha. Erev Shabbos, late Shabbos. They don't do that. A real yeshiva. All the yeshivas cut it out. They cut that out. All the yeshivas, derech klal, they cut out Hecha Kedusha. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he held, you should know, that Chazaras Hashatz is a tremendous chiddush. They don't hold like this. People don't follow this. They abuse. First of all, the only place that you're allowed to cut out Hecha Kedusha is only in the yeshiva. There's no heter whatsoever that Hecha Kedusha by a chasna or by a road stop. There's no such thing. The only place is in the Beis Medrash, because supposedly of Bittul Torah, and of Yaakov Kamenetsky held that Chazaras Hashatz was never established in a Makom Torah. It's not a pshat or bittul Torah. There was never a takana to the daven chazar sashas l'chatchila in a Makom that's miyuchad for Torah. So it would be even a gedra bittul of bracha levatala to say chazar sashas in a yeshiva, according to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's a das yachid. So das yachid, no one follows this.
They go right away to Bein Hasdarim, so right after that.
Everything adds up, okay? Bein Hasdarim and this, that, time, everything adds up, whatever it is. It's not common today. None of the yeshivas today do this anymore. They all cut it out. All the yeshivas today, in Chaim Berlin, before my time, way before, supposedly they did this, and they cut it out long, long ago. They have Hecha Kedusha every day for Mincha. Beis Yosef, yeah? Vardik?
Rabbi, I read
somewhere
that
the
Rambam did not believe in the Torah.
Well, who, what? In the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, the Svardim. That's right, the Svardim. The Svardim, there is such a thing. It's brought down in the Torah. It's brought down in the Torah, not only for Musaf. Only for Musaf, not for Shachar. Only for Musaf. What you're talking about is Musaf. The Sfardim. In the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, there's no Chazor Sashatz from Musaf on Shabbos.
In Beth Torah, my brother, I think, told me he went there. There's no Shmon Esrei. No, there's a time limit. If it starts to Musaf at a certain time, after a certain time.
There's a different Shmuz, the time limit's. Okay, there's another whole story.
They don't want
to be. No. All right, the last thing is. The last thing, Rabbi said, this is an amazing thing. The least, Rabbi, it's the last thing. Okay, there's a lot more talk about this. The last thing over here is this thing. The Hemid Tselem Behechon. Now, we're out of time. The last thing, which is the least, which according to this Mahalach, we're going from Mechomer into what's least Chomer, they put a Tselem in the Hechon. Really? That's the least severe thing you can, that's the least severe thing? They put a Tselem in the Hechon? They put it, whether it was Menashe, or whether it was, now, if you ask that, what's worse? Putting a Tselem in the Hechon, or a Sreifa Satyr.
What exactly is it saying?
An idol.
Why do you have to ask this question? What's worse? What?
It's a great question. Because the Rambam gives you an order, and it's not chronologically correct. And the impression you want to get is you a person has a need. You have a need for Seder. You have to make an order. We're very big into this. Order. Seder. Seder, you want an order. Everything has to be like, you know, the Yekkers, they have two mailboxes. There is for domestic mail and international mail. And you come, the two mailboxes, and you put your mail. And then one day a guy is sitting by the mailboxes, and he sees the postman comes, he opens up, and he takes the box from the domestic and international, and he mixes it all together. So he says, so why are there two boxes? Seder. Order for the sake of order. When you put the mail in, no, what happens later on is not important. But in the meantime, Seder. There has to be order. Why does the Rambam giving you an order that's out of order? Seder. So the common answer is, he's teaching you the human condition. You can get a PhD for this. The Choymer Hadavar. The worst thing that happened in Klal Yisrael was the Shmiras Haluchos. The second to worst thing is Bittul HaTamid. The next to worst thing was the walls of the city, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. The next thing was they burned the Sefer Torah. And the least thing, the thing that's the least so bad is what it says in the Aseres HaDibros, don't worship idols. They put an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. Not so bad. Really? It's not so bad to put an idol in the Beis HaMikdash? Relatively speaking, compared to other things,
it had the least effect if everything was done already.
So there's a lot to be said about this. Not for now. I have a whole thing on this for another time. Not my stuff. Someone else. Another time. And we'll leave that, and we'll come to it another time.